The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Yabba-toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. I am here all by myself in the MFC Studios for this week's show. On this week's show, I, meaning Mark, am going to give my thoughts on the Legend of the White Dragon movie. That is the new Jason David Frank final film that he has. Spoilers may and probably will be mentioned. And also, cartoonist Michael Gracia will give a tribute to indie creator Dennis Knight. He will be part of the sad news, but I'm going to give a special tribute from Michael on that. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news. The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. As well as the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 25, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Their next convention is scheduled all the way, which isn't that far, in November the 21st of this year. Tickets are on sale now. Also want to give our shout-outs for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday Famous Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Hurricane, Millie Portez, and GTS Comics. If you guys want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. There's a little button on there that takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, on our Patreon page, we have more than just getting a shout-out. You can submit a question. You can get the show emailed to you directly earlier than it is released online. And, of course, we have the super high tier, which is... You get a day with co-host Jennifer Elise Feldy, consisting of two prepared and cooked meals, along with the recipes by and from her Keys to Live the Life guidebook. You also get a personal train-out workout session for you and a friend at her personal gym. Also, on the It Came From the Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1, and now Issue 2, is on sale. And also, since you're over there, take a look around at all the other perks we have for that book as well. And, since we're on the subject of my book, we are currently waitlisted to do a panel at New York Comic Con. I am hoping for the best. We have gotten Troma, the film company, famous for making the Toxic Avenger, I should say. They are presenting us as they did with issue number 1 that we did in 2023. And we also now just got Thundercats voice actor Peter Newman to be part of the panel. So if you guys are Thundercats fans or Troma fans, go out there. Reach out to New York Comic Con and say, hey, we want to see these guys. We want them at New York Comic Con because there's still some unannounced panels that are left. And we're hoping out and we're going to get in. Last time, they gave us 2 weeks notice. And this year, we still have more time, but I would really like to know ahead of time. And I would like to get in. So anybody listening out there, go to our YouTube page, check out the original YouTube video, and reach out to New York Comic Con and say, hey, we want to see the Designated panel, sponsored by Troma, with Peter Newman, the voice of Tigra from Thundercats. on the panel. And also, finally, I want to mention that on Wednesday, September 9th, at the East Meadow Public Library, we're going to have our 108th live show with multi-award-winning filmmaker Glenn McBride Jr. as our guest. But that will be on Wednesday, September 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to www.eastmeadow.info for more information. It is free. Come on down. Be part of a live studio audience. So as always, we start off with the sad news, and holy crap, we have so much sad news for this week's show. Starting off, we have Vincent Vlado. He is a friend of the show. He is the host and creator of Sci-Fi Ninja Theater. Now, the thing about this guy is that he's been around forever. He's been around longer than we've been doing our show. I distinctly remember seeing him at conventions years before I started doing the show. It's a public access show on in New York, QPTV, I believe it is. He also has a YouTube page, and he passed away recently, suddenly. As of this recording, no cause of death has been announced. It was just one of those guys that was just a staple to the community. He was just always around. I've always saw him. Very nice guy. Always had great interactions with him. And I don't even know how old he was. I just know that he was always there. He didn't look like he's gotten any older since the very first day I met him. He's a little short guy with long black hair. And he was always just the Sci-Fi Ninja Theater guy. Like, hey, that's the Sci-Fi Ninja Theater guy. And it was kind of cool to grow up in the ranks around him and with him. And like, hey, we know that guy. So I want to send my condolences to his friends and family. And it's just kind of rough that, you know, he's posting, he's there, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. So moving on from more sad news. As I mentioned earlier in the show, indie comic book creator Dennis Knight also passed away. Also, just like Vincent, he was one of those staples of the community. When I found out about his passing, it was amazing to realize how many people knew him. Like, I've known him for years, and it was weird. I always thought that he was older than me, but he wasn't. And that makes it even worse for me personally, that there was this guy out there in the trenches. And he was one of those guys who was just always there, working with us from the ground. You know, we all came up together. It was like we were fighting to get the indies out there. And seeing him with his success that he has managed to do with his independent career was always really great. We actually interviewed him. We interviewed him last year at New York Comic Con was the last time I saw him. If we have time, I might air his final interview on this show. He was 46. All right, so moving on for some more sad news. Editor, writer, Leonard Albert Brown also died recently. He was the guy most famous for being the co-creator on the Mars Attacks Topps trading cards, which eventually got turned into a movie by Tim Burton. If you were a fan of the Mars Attacks cards and or the movie, you have this man to thank. It's really sad that a creator of such an iconic brand and a very enjoyable movie on my end passed away. He was 84. So moving on for some even more sad news. Actress Hayden Leslie Panettiere also died recently. Known professionally as Hayden Panettiere. I always call it Panettiere, but it's Panettiere. She was found, quote, unresponsive after cardiac arrest. While appearing in such films and shows as Remember the Titans, Bring It On, All or Nothing, Scooby-Doo and the Goblin King, I Love You, Beth Cooper, and Hoodwink Part 2, Hood vs. Evil, just name a few, Hayden was perhaps best known for her roles of Sarah Roberts in 26 episodes of the daytime soap One Life to Live, Lizzie Spaulding for 45 episodes of the daytime soap Guiding Light, Maddie Harrington on 10 episodes of the Fox series Ally McBeal, Kirby Reed in Scream Part 4, Claire Bennett in 73 episodes of the NBC Heroes, and Julie Barnes in 112 episodes of the series Nashville. Now, I've never seen Heroes. I cannot say I was a huge fan of hers, but I was a fan of her as a person, And I actually ran into her many, 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 many years ago, briefly at the New York at the Big Apple Con, where she and actress Kristen Bell was there as the headliners, and they walked right by me, and it was so tiny, and she just seemed like a nice person back then, and she was just a youngin. She was only 36. Now, moving on, for some more sad news. Actor Michael Wright also recently died from heart failure. While appearing in a handful of movies and TV shows, Michael is perhaps best known for his role of Eddie King Jr. in the film The Five Heartbeats, Omar White in 22 episodes of the HBO series Oz. And boy, I most remember him that beyond the cover box of the Five Heartbeats while I was working at Blockbuster, it was just one of those boxes I always saw all the time, was his role as Elias Taylor in V, the miniseries, its sequel, V, the Final Battle, and the follow-up TV series of the same name. For those of you who don't know, V, at the time, was a groundbreaking series. It was an event to watch. And it was a miniseries, and it was about aliens invading, spoilers. There were so many undertones, and if you do your little research, you can find out like the true meaning of the story, written by Kenneth Johnson, who I remember him most as one of the driving forces behind the Hulk TV show, which was one of my favorite TV shows back in the day. And sadly, he got fired midway through, I believe, V, the Final Battle. So the show changed a little bit. And then they made a reboot of V, which was okay, but it just didn't have the same gravitas as the original V, series. And Elias was a huge part of that series. He was just a regular guy, which I liked. I appreciated that. So he was 70 years old. I'm moving on for even more sad news. Actress Michelle Anne Marie Fabres, known professionally as Shelley Fabres, also died recently after a brief illness. While appearing in such movies and TV shows and made-for-TV movies as Clambake, Hot Pursuit, Brian's Song, The Practice, not that one, and Superman, the animated series, just to name a few, Shelley is perhaps best known for her roles of Mary Stone in 191 episodes of The Donna Reed Show, which aired way back in 1958 to 1965, Frances Weber in 23 episodes of the sitcom One Day at a Time, way back in 1978 through 1984, and what I remember her most as her role as Christine Armstrong in 199 episodes of the sitcom Coach, not so way back in 1989 through 1997. Of note, Shelley was also a recording artist, with her single Johnny Angel reached number one on the Billboard chart's Top 100 in 1962, and after being diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis in the year 2000, she received a liver transplant. She was 82. Moving on for even more sad news. The Queen of Country, Dolly Rebecca Parton Dean, known professionally as just Dolly Parton, also died recently after a brief battle with cancer. While Dolly was perhaps most famous for just being Dolly Parton, she did appear in a handful of movies and TV shows. I mostly remember her when she started 9 to 5, as well as the theme song of the same name. I actually saw that in the theaters. It was a pretty good show. I do remember that after that, she was in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Burt Reynolds, and I also remember her being in Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone, and I distinctly remember at the time, the reviews were not kind. And I never saw those two movies because of the reviews and the fact that it was Burt Reynolds and Sylvester Stallone were in a comedy musical as opposed to action stuff, which I was used to them being. I did not watch that. And I also remember all the music specials she used to have on TV with Kenny Rogers and then later with Willie Nelson. And she was just Dolly Parton. She was just like one of those people. I guess she was like the opposite of Elvira. Like, it's just one of those characters that you see, but Apparently, she was like true to herself, very philanthropic person. I know I'm saying that wrong. She was a great person, well loved, well received. She did so much for so many people. She is a great musician. It's just crazy that she's gone. Once again, she was like one of those people you just thought was always going to be around. It's like she was always there and she was always going to be there. And now she's not. She was 80 years old. And moving on for the final bit of sad news. Actor Timothy James Curry, best known as just Tim Curry, also died recently. As of this recording, no cause of death was announced, but he did have a stroke in 2012 and has faced health issues ever since. He was in a lot of stuff. I remember him personally as he was in Clue. That was my first exposure to him, and I loved Clue. And the thing was, a lot of people knew him from Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I had not seen until years later. So I was more a fan of him as Wadsworth in Clue. And that movie was one of the best things about that movie was that it had multiple endings. And there was one ending which I did not like because I liked he was such a likable character. So one of the endings, spoilers, where he was the bad guy, I did not appreciate, but I did like the movie and I did like him in it. I do remember him being a prolific voice actor and seeing him in many voice roles. I remember that he was in a Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. I had to do the theme songs. I remember it. He played the villain. I remember him in Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates. I also remember him in The Muppet Treasure Island. He was just a great actor. He was a great performer. It was just one of those, once again, people that I've seen all over the place. And I just thought he was going to be around forever, even after the stroke. And he had such a unique voice. They always say how versatile of an actor he was. And I'm going to have to go with that. I'm like, this guy was amazing. And for a little fun fact, he was the original voice of the Joker in the Batman animated series before Mark Hamill took over the role. I don't remember why they did the switch, but it's just weird to. There is video of him doing the voice. You got to go do your little homework and you'll be able to see that. Of note, he actually wrote in his memoirs about his thoughts on death. And he said, quote, "I am not frightened of death. People often balk when I say that, but I do not believe that a heaven or hell awaits me or anything in between, though I would be curious to visit either. I gathered they would be populated by plenty of fellow vagabonds. Without belief in some hereafter, though, what is there to be frightened about? I had been very scared when I did not know what was happening to me." I was talking about his stroke. "But because I had no sense of it, whether tremendous pain was forthcoming. But if death comes for me peacefully and I fade gently from the light into dark oblivion, why would I be afraid of it? Sometimes I rather think it would be a comfort." He was 80 years old. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles. Dig through comic books. Meet artists and writers. Enter amazing raffles. Enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook and on Instagram. It's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. And we're just going to continue with the not-SN news. So from the...
That's a lot of not!
...department, the new Spider-Man sequel, Part 4, for those of you not paying attention, has held on to the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in an additional $70.7 million in ticket sales in its third week of release, beating out the new Christopher Nolan film, The Odyssey, which came in as number two spot, making an additional $23.6 million in its fifth week of release. For those of you keeping track, the aforementioned Spider-Man film is currently the highest grossing film of this year so far with $803.9 million, followed by The Odyssey at $512.8 million. I actually saw Spider-Man. I've said this many times. It was the most Spider-Man movie a Spider-Man movie could be. It was pretty darn good. It did have some problems, but not as bad as the predecessor, which I had a huge problem with. This was the foundation of the movie. Just didn't have... The rest of the movie was great, but the foundation wasn't, so it did not hold up. But this movie I felt was much, much better, although, once again, they treated the Hulk not well. And there's just too many Hulk questions, and they just feel like they just don't know what to do with him. But I guess it was better to have some Hulk than no Hulk. And also, it was kind of cool seeing Hulk versus Spider-Man and Hulk versus Punisher, of which reminded me of the comics with Peter David, the late Peter David, one of my favorite comic book writers and my favorite Hulk writer, had the Punisher versus the Hulk. So it kind of reminded me of that. So I guess that is it for that. And so we're going to move on for the last bit of news. Once again, the streaming numbers are in, and for the week of July 20th, 26, the top 10 most watched minutes are number 10, Grey's Anatomy at 698 million minutes watched, Ransom Canyon, which is the Josh Duhamel Western series with 741 million minutes watched, SpongeBob SquarePants at 733 million minutes, 72 Hours, which is the Kevin Hart movie, at 791 million minutes, Bluey, which has always been in the top 10, at 897 million minutes, House of the Dragon, which is at 912 million minutes, Ride or Die, which is the Octavia Spencer action comedy series with 922 million minutes, The Hawk, which is the Will Ferrell golf series at 944 million minutes, Big Bang Theory at 1,122 million minutes, and the new He-Man movie at 1,173 minutes is at number one spot. That tells me, well, actually, that just reaffirms what I have been saying for years about movies and about how the box office does not reflect whether it is a good movie, a bad movie, a popular movie, or not. It just tells you how many people paid for a ticket for the movie. And so seeing as how I did not really enjoy the He-Man movie, I really liked the beginning of the He-Man movie. I did a review of it, actually, on the show in a previous episode, and I really liked the end of the movie. And actually, there is a new YouTube series by Mattel. They're like five-minute shorts that's kind of loosely based on that version of He-Man. And it's a really good cartoon. I actually like the cartoon better than I like the movie. But it goes to show that there is an audience for it because somebody's watching it, and a lot of somebody's are watching it. So because the fact that it did not make the movie, the money when it got released, has no bearing on the quality, on the enjoyability. It just meant that a lot of people didn't buy tickets. And now that it's quote-unquote free on streaming, because you are paying for it anyway, more people decided to watch it, and a lot more people decided to watch it and probably went to the movie theater. So that explains a lot. And I said it kind of validates about that. All right, so with that, we're going to take our break. And if we have enough time, as I mentioned before, we will play our final Dennis Knight interview, replay it from New York Comic Con of 2025. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Rare Products NY has you covered. Our universal pergolas are modern, durable aluminum structures designed to withstand the elements while adding style and value. Enjoy all weather protection with adjustable louvers and glass options. Stay cozy in the winter with modernized screens and enclosures. Create a luxury ambiance with built-in LED lighting. And give your home or business a modern look that keeps guests coming back. For your on-site evaluation, call 516-225-8271. Email rareproductsny@gmail.com or visit rareproductsny.com. Rare Products NY, we've got you covered.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I'm here at the Sire Studios with Mr. Dennis Knight.
Hi, how's it going?
Javier, last name?
Ortiz.
Javier Ortiz.
Hi, hola.
And I have Mr. Michael Sire Guy Dolce here.
How's it going?
So, what is Sire about? I've known you guys for a long time, but every time I come by here, you always have something new. So what is going on with Sire? What's happening with the company?
Yeah, so Sire Studios is the home for all the creations that I have. We're actually published through Dren Productions, so go to drenproductions.com. Sire itself is about a superhero forced by his own costume to fight evil, kind of like having a spider sense, but instead of warning him danger, actually puts him in danger. And the new stuff we have going on, which we have the entire team here for at New York Comic Con, is Plan 79 from Outer Space. It is the sequel to the sequel to the greatest, worst movie of all time, Plan 9 from Outer Space. We did a book called Plan 59 a couple years ago. It was a big hit, so we spawned a sequel. Plan 59 is about basically takes 50 plans later, and the aliens finally think they have a way to defeat us through our cell phones. And Plan 79 is the aftermath of that, and now the battle with the invaders gets taken into space.
So, Dennis, this is your project, your baby?
Actually, Michael Dolce and myself, we co-wrote it together. It was really cool, a lot of fun to write, and then Javier, he drew it. Amazing artwork. He really brought the script to life, and I was very happy to be part of this project.
Can you talk about being co-creative, co-writers? Like, how does it work? You write one sentence, he writes another sentence. How does that work?
He would say, okay, this is what I want to happen. He would, like, have specific plot points and things that had to happen. I was my job to kind of put everything in order, kind of, like, make it streamline and make everything make sense.
Now, Javier, you're drawing for two different writers. How is that? Is it blowing your mind that you have one idea over here, one idea over there, or is it actually more seamless when they work together?
I have no problem with the two stories. Sorry for my English.
No, it's fine, it's fine.
But I love science fiction, and I want to give my special thanks to both of them, because I love to draw this kind of stories, and this is the first chance I have to do a professional job.
Really? So what is it like being on the other side, getting yourself in this book that's finally done? What's it feel like?
The feel, excuse me, what?
What is the experience? How good does it feel? What does it feel like?
I enjoy a lot. I really love this story. So I don't know how to explain, but I am very Star Wars and Star Trek fan, and I really enjoy drawing this kind of stories. I do. My pages is about superheroes, but I want to change my style and the kind of the stories. And this is the first time I do science fiction, and I love it.
And how do you find finding an artist to work on science fiction or superheroes? Is that a unique idea that you have in your mind, or is it all one kind of like a general idea of what you're looking for?
You know, what's really funny is I met him at New York Comic Con. Is it 2 years? It was 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. And basically, I looked at his portfolio and I said, okay, this guy can draw. He's very professional. And so when the Plan 79 project came up, I said, you know what? His style just fits what we're doing. And it just turned out that it worked out great because he loves science fiction. And for him, just to answer your question before, too, he gets one script, so he doesn't even know, you know, whose idea is what and everything. It starts with me and James Masia, who's the co-publisher of Dren. We had co-created Plan 59. And then I was able, as Dennis mentioned, to kind of send in my ideas and say, hey, this is what we're looking for. This is where the series, you know, is going to go. And here's where each issue kind of goes. You know, here are some characters. You know, go have fun with it and figure out some stuff. And then Dennis put his own flair on everything.
So talk about your flair. What is the Dennis Knight flair on a book?
I wish I knew. I don't know what that is exactly. I wanted to make it interesting. I also want to make it believable, but it's also happening out of space. So it's like, how do you make somebody relate to something that's happening out of space? So it's really, I really try to put myself in the character's shoes. What would that character do in the situation? And try to add a little humor to it, sort of like making that all doom and gloom, make it a little funny. Hopefully we'll get a chuckle out of it. Well, hopefully we'll see. Hopefully they laugh. We'll see.
And how many times did you have to watch the original Plan 9 from outer space before you decided to do the book?
I saw it years and years and years ago. So at this point, Plan 79 has kind of become its own thing. We announced at the end of Plan 79 number 3, which will be in stores this month. November. Not technically this month, but by the time it airs, it'll be November. So yeah, it works out good. That we're going to do a spinoff. It's called Into the Cosmos. And it kind of takes this. Basically, this thing has kind of spun off onto its own now, and it's kind of cool. So excited about that.
All right, social media time. Where can we find everybody? Dennis?
On Facebook, Dennis Knight. On TikTok, Who is Dennis Knight, and on Instagram, DEE Knight Spritzer.
Javier, where can people find your work, and we want to hire you? Where can we find you?
On Instagram, too. It's Javier Ortiz, barra baja. I don't know how to say barra baja. Javier Ortiz artwork.
Okay.
They're not allowed to hire him because we're going to keep him busy. We're keeping him busy. But you can find all the books at drenproductions.com, and then find me online at Sire Studios.
All right, so you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I'm super excited with the response we've gotten. It started, 2 years ago when my local comic book shop guy was like, more plan books. Like, these plan books are doing really well, and we noticed that on the Kickstarter. And then we sold in retail, and people really responded to it. And the Kickstarters have done really great for us as well for Plan 79. And we have Plan 39. Coming out at the end of October, actually, the first issue of that. We're teaming up with the Big Dog Ink guys to do that one.
Dennis, any final thoughts?
No problem. No.
Check out our books. If you like us, let us know. If you want more of it, let us know, and then we'll keep on writing and drawing.
All right, this is Mark Torres from It Came From The Radio. We are here live at New York Comic Con Art Tape. Back to Mark in the studio.
Hey, everybody. This is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From The Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. All right, so I am here live on tape at the Legend of the White Dragon movie premiere. It's a Fathom event. Apparently, it's a special screening because they have the regular screenings, which is tomorrow. But it's apparently, it says it's a special Fathom event screening. This is Jason David Frank's final film. And it has a starring Michael Madsen. Mark Dacascos is in it. As you all know, I do not like watching trailers. But sadly, I had a lot of inside information for this film, and most of what I've heard is that this movie is going to be a really bad movie, so my expectations are very, extremely low. I hope it's going to be better than what it is, but from what I've heard, it's not too great. A lot of it does have to do with a person we've actually had on the show, Aaron Shonkey. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, which I'm not going to get into here. What I'm going to do my best is to just watch it cold, putting all the inside information I have aside as best as I can, which is why I don't like watching trailers. There is, like I said, a whole bunch of drama, but we shall see how it goes. So through the magic of radio, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to zoom forward to the end of the movie, and I will give you my thoughts.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back. So It Came From The Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. As I mentioned, through the magic of radio, we have just finished watching The Legend of the White Dragon, which is Jason David Frank's final film. And I would think it would be his first major starring role, because I guess Power Ranger films do not count. And I think he might have been in other movies that I have never seen. So I guess this is his big-time feature-length non-Power Ranger debut. I can safely say that. So I saw the movie, and as I mentioned before, I did my best to go in it cold, and I have to say, that movie was way better than I thought it was going to be. So right there, that's bonus points. And I have seen, as I've said many times on this show, because we do support independent films, and I guess this counts as an independent film, and I've seen many independent films, and this is leaps and bounds above a large portion of them. Now, that being said, knowing that Jason David Frank did pass away did affect my knowledge and my review of the film. But from what I understand is that, oh, by the way, spoilers may and probably will be mentioned, but is that I knew that if I didn't know that the principal photography was done before he died, I could have given it a pass for a couple of things. And I'm watching, it's like, yeah, they had to pad it out for this, or they had to add that because he died during filming. But in this case, I knew, apparently, what he said, the film had wrapped. So it felt like they added more stuff in it just to add more stuff in it. It was great seeing Jason David Frank on the big screen. He was fine. He did what he needed to do. It felt like they shoved in an extra character. And if I did not know that the writer, co-writer, and the director of the film, Aaron Shankey, who we've had on the show, was in the movie, so he was an actor as well. And there was a lot of Aaron in there. And if I didn't know that he was the acting director, I'd be like, man, they really got this guy in this movie a lot for no good reason. And on top of that, I'm sorry to say, his acting was not that great. I mean, it's Power Rangers level acting. Actually, when I left the theater, this guy, a guy I was walking out with, I wouldn't say by myself, he was like, well, it was a movie, and it was a very Power Rangers level movie. So, you know, that's kind of the acting you would get, but sorry, Aaron, your acting was kind of like a little extra when it didn't need to be. It was great seeing all the little tidbits and cameos of some of the other former Power Rangers actors, some of the people who has been in other things. Lenora Zane, I know I'm mispronouncing her name because I'm just popping off what's in my head, but the girl, the voice of Rogue, was in the movie. John Diggle, I know that's not the actor's name, from Arrow, was in it. He was like, hey, I was like, hey. And he had Ron Rudgy, who was the Lightspeed Rescue mentor. I was like, wow, he played the father. I was like, hey, that guy's in it. That was kind of cool. You had Jason Font, which I knew was in it, Time Force Red Power Ranger. He had Sierra Hanna, who was Gia in Power Rangers Megaforce. Always great to see her. You had Serena Vincent, who was the Yellow Jungle, Lost Galaxy Ranger, yeah. So it was nice seeing the little cameos. The story was a little all over the place. It needed some more polishing, but it was fine for what it was. Like I said, I was expecting nothing, a hodgepodge, a mess. And I'm watching, it's like, all right, I get the basics, the bare bones of the story that apparently Jason was a superhero, and he was actually, which one of the rules that they I like to mention is they broke the rule of show don't tell. They did a lot of tell, not show. So apparently Jason David Frank, Jason's character Eric, was supposed to be a treasure hunter, but you really didn't get a feel he was a treasure hunter. It was like, that's Jason David Frank. It's like, he didn't become a role. It was just, that's Tommy. That's Jason David Frank. Like, there's no, like, you know, it's Jackie Chan. You know what I mean? Who he is, that's him. So he played a treasure hunter, and through a unique set of circumstances, which was kind of hinted at, he managed to find a crystal, which turned him into a superhero, and the superhero had a big fight with some other dude. And then apparently it killed a whole bunch of people in the fight, and then they tried to blame Jason David Frank for that, and he was in hiding or something, and then he found a way to get to recharge his power to become a good guy. And one guy that they decided to insert, which was Aaron Shankey's character, he lost his wife, which was Sierra Hanna, And he was getting vengeance for some reason. It was kind of like a Batman v Superman. I was like, all right, I see what you're doing here. But then he gets his power back, and then they have a big fight, and then movie ends. That's the short version of it. And there's just a couple parts where he was like, oh, he says certain lines, and I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. But I would think that because principal photography was done, but not the ADR and all that extra stuff. So maybe it was a situation where this is all the footage they had. They tried to turn it and try to make it into a story different than what they did because for whatever reason. But a couple of parts are like, that doesn't make sense. Or, well, when did that happen? Kind of a deal. So the story wasn't that strong. Action was decent. I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular, but it was not subpar. Jason knows the moves. They had stunt doubles. They had, in costume and out of costume fights, which was all right. There were certain things that were pointed out to me, like I said, because I knew a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And I'm watching, I was like, oh, okay, well, I see the decision made there. Or I see why they did this. Or I see why they did that. But to a regular average moviegoer, you probably wouldn't notice a lot of those things. So I did not use that to detract of my enjoyment of the film. They had one line, which was probably the best part of the entire movie, was when Jason said there was a monk who was playing the piano, and they asked if I don't remember if they asked him if he played any instrument or what instrument that they're going to play next, something like that. It was a setup line. And Jason goes, oh, I used to play flute in high school. I was like, all right, that was cool. There was some emotion towards it, watching it, knowing it's his final film. It had potential. I can say that. Like, I was like, all right, I can see the foundation, and I am curious to see what the original movie would have been. But it is what it is. It came out, and it is not, I repeat, a not horrible movie, which is great. That made me happy. It also, I think I've mentioned this many times, that when you go to a movie, where you're at personally in your life can affect the other side of when you come out of a movie. For example, one of the reasons why I've said this many times, one of my favorite movies and probably one of the greatest movies to me of all time would be Transformers the Movie, which has the 40th anniversary this year. And I'm actually going to the theaters to see it on the big screen one more time. Was that going into the Transformers movie, I was a fan of the kids, TV show. And when I got there, the animation was just like the next level. So it took me from where I was, and it blew my mind. Like, this is what it could be. It just elevated everything. I liked the Power Rangers, the movie, for that very same reason. Like, it elevated what I was used to seeing. So it gave me a sense of wonder and like, wow. So if you're having a good day, you can go into a movie and see like, oh, this is a really good movie. You're having a bad day, a crappy movie that gives you a laugh, you might wind up enjoying it more than the actual movie itself. So my personal bias is that there is one person who I would have seen it with, and that person passed away. So the fact that that person wasn't there with me to enjoy this movie with the guy's final film, and Michael Madsen also passed away. So that was kind of emotional and sad. And it was like, all right, it gave me the feels, but not because of anything that the movie did, but because what the movie was lacking, which was someone that I could have enjoyed it with. It was nice seeing it with a group of people. It was a, I would say, a quarter-filled theater, maybe even two-thirds full, which is kind of impressive. And you know that everybody there is a Power Rangers fan, or at very least a Jason David Frank fan. There's nobody who's going to randomly see that this movie's coming out. Like, I got to see this movie. That's just not happening. So you're a Power Rangers fan. Everybody's there for the same reason, to celebrate Jason David Frank's finally getting his movie out, celebrate Jason David Frank's life, celebrate this hodgepodge of an independent film. And, you know, you kind of got to do your best to enjoy it. Now, I have heard that some of the reviews have been really harsh. And that's because they are judging it as if it was, you know, Spider-Man Brand New Day. But you can't do that. I've said this many times. It's an independent film, so you have to kind of give it leeway for certain things. And there were certain things like, but overall, it is what it is. You're going for a reason. If you're a fan, I think you'll enjoy it. You're not going to hate it. At the very least, you're not going to hate it. At least I don't think anybody would, like, hate that movie, despite the fact of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And that paints it in a different way. So with all the behind-the-scenes stuff, it does irk me a little bit about the film. But just as a film on its own, putting all that aside, which is something I think Jason would have wanted if he was still alive, and if they managed to make the film, even with all the behind-the-scenes drama, he'd be like, hey, let's enjoy the movie. All my fans out there, this I made just for you guys. So, you know, I gotta give him credit for making it into a movie. And it wasn't a horrible, I'll say it again, it wasn't a horrible movie. It was enjoyable. I was glad I got to see it in the theater with his fans. And I myself as a fan, I've interviewed him many times. I met him a couple of times. And I remember when he was his first New York Comic Con. I've said a lot of it during when I had my tribute to Jason Derefrank when he passed away in an earlier episode of our show. But so what kind of a Dragon Sword would I give it? What kind of a number would I give it? If I gun to head, I'd give it a good 5-6, you know, around that area. It wasn't a great movie. It wasn't a solid movie. It had potential, but it was not a bad movie. So a 10 would be Rumble in the Bronx or Pootie Tang, or actually maybe not Pootie Tang, maybe Pootie Tang gets a 9, or Power Rangers, you know, like a high numbers. It wouldn't get a high number. I mean, not Power Rangers, Rumble in the Bronx, Transformers the movie, Dirty Work, that gets a high number. But and it's no Popeye. I've mentioned this the past couple of weeks how the Popeye sequels were independent films, and holy crap, like, I was expecting Popeye-level movie, and I did not get Popeye-level movie, so that might be where I'm biased, but a good 5-6, watchable film, enjoyable, see it if you're a fan, go check it out in the theaters. If not, you know, pick up a DVD, watch it on streaming or whatever have you, but just enjoy the movie. It's something for a fan to not see would be kind of sad. So you're curious if you should see it, go out and see it. Like I said, you're going to be with fans. You're going to be with people who want the movie to be a good movie. So you're kind of in a good spot where you're not hate watching it. You're not in a person where you don't know what to expect. You know what you're getting. You're getting a Jason Derefrank movie. You're getting it with fans of the franchise. You're getting it with people who enjoy and love the character, you know? So that is my review of the film, as I mentioned. Even if you know the entire movie, you still should go see it. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
Hi, I'm Michael Grossi. I'm an illustrator, cartoonist, educator, podcast host, and indie publisher. I have a new indie company, a new publishing company called Ink Fair Press, which will start releasing books in 2026. You could find me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Ink Fair, like Wayfarer, but just Ink Fair. Ink Fair Press. I have nothing posted right now, but things will start happening very soon. Because I'm going to start releasing, like I said, books in 2027. You can also just find me as an artist at my name, Michael Gracia, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You know, those are really where I hang out mostly. I've run my own my own comic, which The Whimsical Wiz is right here, guys. Should have had that taken out originally, but here you go, The Whimsical Wiz. I ran that strip for about a little over 2 years, and I worked on characters like Zorro for Bold Venture Press, and done a lot. I have a new strip. The Wiz strip was in a Kid in a Comic newspaper, and a new strip coming into a Kid in a Comic is called The Ink Farer Draws, where I teach people how to draw through comic strips. So yeah, that's honestly... Before I get to honestly enough about me, I do a podcast called Get in Tune every Wednesday night around 8 or 9 p.m. on YouTube and Facebook, so you can catch me on there, where I talk to creatives in the comic or animation world, sometimes gaming. But again, enough about me. I am here to talk about a friend of mine who's probably a friend of most of you watching. His name was Dennis Knight. He passed away recently, and I'm still in shock by it. I met Dennis maybe 2011, 2012. We were both working with Pronto Comics. I was the art director. He was one of the editors. And we clicked, pretty quickly. We have a very similar thought process on how comic storytelling should go. And he was probably one of the best editors I've ever worked with. His thoughts, his feedback, always very informative. He was also, from the start, very professional. He was cool to joke around with and everything, but when it came to working and talking comics, he was always professional. And when I left in, 2014, 2015, we obviously stayed in contact. We would talk every now and then. We saw each other mostly at shows. And for those who don't know, Dennis was one of the biggest supporters of independent comics I've ever met. When you're tabling at a show and a friend comes up to your table, you might give them a book for free, hey, check this out, or discount the rate because it's a friend or whatever. Dennis never wanted that. Every time he came to my table or saw him at someone else's table, he was paying full price because he wanted the artist, the creator, whoever it was, to make the money they deserved on those sales. And I thought that was great. I always felt that because I would want to give him stuff for free, get his opinion and feedback on things that I've done, and he would give it if I asked for it. I didn't feel people like Dennis should have paid for some of the books with all the great advice he would give out. My last conversation with him was about a month ago. I gave him a call because I was having some concerns with my new business, Ink Farer Press. We talked for about an hour, maybe a little longer, and he helped me clear my head on certain aspects that I was struggling with. And I'll say, things got cleared up pretty quickly after I sat on his advice, which was always very good. On the same call, we discussed, because we never worked together, we discussed working together. And one of the things that I plan to do with Ink Farer is run a webcomic. And he never worked in webcomics before. He thought it was a very interesting concept, the way I wanted to release it, and thought it would be an interesting challenge and project for him. So we were, we never finalized or discussed things, and I was going to pay him. I asked for his page rates for writing, for editing. excuse me, because I really loved Dennis's work, and I really wanted him to, I really wanted to work with him. And we were talking at that after New York Comic Con that happens in October, that we would get together and sit down and figure out a story that we can work on together, whether he writes it or, well, he would write it, whether it was an idea I created or an idea he came up with. We were going to sit down, talk it out, and we were going to run a webcomic together, probably for a 2028 release. But he seemed very interested, excited, and open to it, and I was too. When I heard the news that he passed, it was unbelievable. Usually is when you know someone that young, you know, passes away. But you know, it's always harder when it's someone you know. You know, the one thing I always told Dennis, and I remember telling him in our last call, that the way he writes, even edits, whatever it is, that, and I told him this many, many times, basically since the beginning, was that I always thought people would look back on Dennis's work and talk about him the way we talk about the creators that we grew up with, that inspired us to create work. His stuff was so inspiring, you know, very well written, that you're like, I wanna write like him. His dialogue was great. Everything was so good that I really believe, and to this day, I still believe it, that hopefully his work still gets into the hands of people that'll look at it and get inspired to want to create as well, or at least just have so much fun that their imagination is sparked to continue to live in the world Dennis was writing in and creating in. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I just wanted to take a moment and pay a little tribute to Dennis. You know, conventions aren't going to be the same without you, man. I'm going to miss being able to call you, seeing you at shows, reading your work. I'm glad I got some of your work already that I can go back and look at, you know, and enjoy again. So, yeah, guys, if you can, go find work from Dennis Knight. And one little last pitch for me, go follow me on the social media, as I mentioned at the beginning, under my name, Michael Gracia, or Inkfarer Press. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for letting me take the time to talk. Yeah, I'll see you guys later. And thank you, Dennis, for everything you did. We'll always be remembering you. All right. Bye, guys.
The Pata. If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of this station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.